All right, let me confirm. Jed, are you there with us?
I am, yep.
Tremendous. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Biz Power Hour, an educational opportunity for advertising sales professionals around the world, for those of you that sell ads into print, newsletters, and or your website, for those of you who have free circulation, paid circulation, controlled circulation, whether you have a newspaper, magazine, or a niche or specialty publication, you are in the right place. We're here to share with you tools and resources and information and strategies that will help you sell more ads every step of the way. At the beginning of every teleseminar, we always say the words, close your office door, find a quiet spot, turn off your distractions, really be able to be fully present and listening to the things we're going to share with you during our teleseminar today. The more that you listen, the more notes you make and take, the more Jed and myself will transfer the knowledge to you and infuse it, what we call the coach or coaching approach, rather than a trainer or train-inning approach. So it's not an accident that there's not something on your screen. We do not include that as part of our teleseminars. The very best in adult research and education says the more notes you make, the more that you're going to capture. And if we had something on your screen, it would cause you to many-task or multitask. With me is Jed, the president and founder of MediaBiz. They do an extraordinary job. Jed, it's always a pleasure working together over the last decade-plus years. Always appreciate our interaction, our exchange, and the support from you and your team for us to be able to put on these educational programs. How about some opening words about MediaBiz, you and your team, the work you're doing, and then I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch into addressing adversity. Okay?
Sure. Well, thanks very much, Ernest. We always learn a lot on these teleseminars from Ernest. He's a great source of knowledge and inspiration when it comes to all things publishing related. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBiz. We are a company located in Connecticut, but we serve publications from around the country. We have been doing what we do for about 20 years, and essentially what we are all about is driving revenue to publications in a variety of different ways. If you're using us, we thank you. If you're not and would like to learn more, please feel free to reach out. Our website's mediabiz.com, and we're always happy to take phone calls and explain how we try to drive revenue to publications for their print products, or at least primarily for their print products. We do an enormous amount of tracking, and that's really what sort of differentiates us. So we're able to tell publications, exactly how different ads that they're running are performing. As a result of this, we've been able to attract large national advertisers to spend money in print that had long ago sort of evaporated. We've been pretty successful at this. We'd love to talk to you how this could work in your publication. So feel free to reach out. Thanks for joining us.
Beautiful. And thank you so much, Jed. And to each of and all of you who already work with Jed at MediaBiz, you know the results they bring and the revenue they bring to you and for you and your team and your company. And for those of you that have not, go look at MediaBiz, reach to Jed and that team that are always here for you. My name is Ernest Rienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, more than three decades ago. I've launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and we launched Power Hour in 1995. That's more than a few moons ago. We've now coached and guided more than 2,500 advertising sales teams and companies and ad leaders in 13 time zones around the world over the last 23 years. And I was sharing with Jed the sort of moving across the United States, more recently in the United Kingdom, in Europe, working with our media clients, and soon to be back in our offices on Monday, almost 2 months of working with media teams globally. So there are reoccurring themes in all of the work that we do. We help, we provide executive coaching, which simply means that we help our clients see what's possible, Jed, and then find ways to help them accomplish the impossible with more grace and ease. We simply like to say the hotter the kitchen, the more we love it, the bigger the opportunities, the challenges, like we'll be talking about today, the more that we love that piece. our signature flagship. Every Tuesday, we have an advertising sales academy, Jed. We work on our media kit presentations. We work on our business development strategies, 21 negotiating skills, 32 ad sales skills. This last week was week number 265. Jed, since the launch of it, every one of our Academy members gets an audio message on Monday, and then just like we're doing here, but live interaction with me every single Tuesday. So, and then last but not least, as we come in and out of this kind of teleseminar and any of our work that we do, we have three goals for you and your team. Number one, we want to share new ideas to stretch and spur and stir your thinking. Number two, if you hear something Jed and I cover today, that acknowledges what you're currently doing. It simply means it's confirming that you're honoring the very best practices as an ad sales professional. And lastly, the serendipitous additional ricochet ideas that will come up as you're listening to something today or any of our prior educational programs that will help you and your team move forward that you weren't even anticipating or expecting. Today, Jed, we're going to be talking about adversity. And so all of you know this is number 272 times every single month over 23 years, yet as you know, we put on an educational program. It's always been our belief, go out into the world, share what you know about ad sales winning, ad sales strategies, and good and great things will come to those who participate, right? For this particular week, though, over 272 times, we've never once talked about adversity, okay? And all that simply means is that, you know, every single day, every single week, over two plus decades, ad sales leaders, VPs of sales, owners of media groups have come to me and said, here's my dilemma, here's my challenge, here's what I'm faced with, here's my competitor, here's the marketplace, here's print versus digital, here's digital versus other ad buy choices. We've heard all of it. And it took some time, Jed, to prepare for today, because I sort of needed to think about the reoccurring themes and then the formulaic approach, which is what we're going to be talking about. So the first area, there were lots of specific questions related to today and other ad sales strategies, Jed. So we're going to fly in and out of these four key points plus field questions in between. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, if you know what I'm saying. So let's talk about this common theme. Let's talk about some of the common themes of adversity that we see, and we typically cluster them under the three P's, people, performance, and profits, okay? So in the course of any given coaching call, which typically runs an hour, and we're typically working with an individual or a team or an entire organization, depending on the structure of that particular meeting, we come in and out of topics, things that relate to people. For example, we brought on a new hire, I'll hear, you know, as I'm working with a particular media team. Hey, Ernest, we've actually parted the other side. You know, hey, we got, you know, things weren't going so well. We parted with an ad salesperson, or possibly we have other HR or litigious or legal or printer or those kinds of things. But generally around people, those are the kinds of things that we bump into, Jed. We then secondly bump into performance. Sometimes, Jed, it's about team conflict. You know, for example, Mary and Tim are having a squabble over that particular account. Or Bill and Rita want to know who's going to go get that one. Or the classic, Ralph made a presentation last year, Tina made the sale this year. How does that go on? Related to team conflicts and challenges. Or in some cases, we're focused on market share or market penetration. Or we're focused on ad drop reports tied to performance. We're focused on competitors that are gaining pages, losing pages, adding editorial, removing editorial. These are the kinds of things that we bounce around related to performance. Sometimes, Jed, it's about our success ratio. How many phone calls convert into how many presentations? How many presentations convert into sales? How many renewals convert into continued relationships and so forth? So, Jed, this piece around people and performance are two of those big areas that we kind of bounce around. Any observations through your experience and the things that you've seen related to people and performance?
I think that obviously they're connected, but you know, I don't know. I mean, you have a lot more experience than I do in terms of dissecting it like that.
You know, it's something. It took a bit of time to organize today to kind of think about these themes, because the third theme, which you'll appreciate, relates to profits, right? I want more revenue. I want more profitability. we want to reduce our expenses, or we have unexpected expenses. And sometimes you bump into, you know, my company's being sold. Sometimes we bump into the opposite. We're buying a company on the other side, and we're helping our clients in some cases sell and in some cases buy. So these are the kinds of things. Here's the opening point that we want to make to all of you. The surprise today, you woke up this morning, the sun came up, wherever you are around the globe. For some of you, it's good morning, some good afternoon, some good evening. The point is that you woke up this morning and said, hey, today is Thursday, right? Today will be a beautiful day. And 2 hours later, something goes awry, okay? It happens. Not only does it happen in our coaching calls, but between our coaching calls and meetings yet, our clients email us with updates. Hey, so-and-so this, or hey, just look what happened regarding a competitor, or so-and-so joined this team, or so-and-so left that team, or whatever it might be. We make those observations related to adversity. Are they challenges or are they opportunities? Let's dive into the second part of what we're going to cover, and then we're going to lean back and field some of the questions that came in and move in and out of those, and then we'll come back to adversity. But here's the part about adversity. Number one, adversity, challenges come your way, right? You know, and so when you come to a coaching call, I'm going to ask you, all right, so let's talk about this. You know, stuff happens, now what, right? You know, tell me, why has this happened? What do we know about this? You know, what is it we learn? For example, I'll sometimes hear, hey, a competitor just put their publications in my grocery racks. They weren't there before. Okay, and I'll say, so, huh, that's interesting. Why do you think that's so? Well, they haven't been there for 10 years. Well, is it possible, given your page growth and your ad growth, that you're succeeding and you're moving faster? Or the opposite. Hey, Ernest, competitor removed themselves out of that distribution location. Sometimes we hear that. I'll always go down the path of why. Then I'll go down the side of how long. Oh, you just noticed that they just went in that distribution rack this week? How long has that been going on? How long have they not been there, right? Let's watch to see how long they stay there. So when we look at challenges and opportunities and adversity, we want to ask the question for how long, and we want to know what's driving it. You know, again, maybe the point yet here is that maybe, hey, you've been doing so well, you and your ad team have been doing so well that a competitor is responding, right? But the opposite, we bump into how tough is it when competitors are out there giving away free ads? We bump into this as a reoccurring theme. So then we start to talk about, well, you know, so what does that mean? How tough is this? What is the impact? How are we going to overcome that? So these, again, are those exploratory questions, a formulaic approach to begin thinking about adversity and what those steps are. But the most important piece we're going to help you do is we're going to help you determine, is this moment, is what's happening today a pebble? Is it a boulder? Is it Mount Everett? Okay? How quickly you can sift and sort. Is it Mount Everett? Is it a pebble? If it's Mount Everett, what are we going to take as steps to move it back to a boulder and back to a pebble? Or in fact, on the other side, maybe it's something we're going to learn from a competitor, or learn from an ad agency, or learn from an ad buyer that feels like Mount Everett on one side, and we convert into Mount Fuji to our advantage on the other. Meaning sometimes when pressed to deal with adversity or a challenge in our media space, sometimes what we do to overcome that, or what we do to make a quantum leap beyond that, is so significant we never look back. It's so profound. Sometimes when pressed, I've worked with a number of you that are here today that are joining us. When pressed related to a competitor, we've gone out and done white papers. We've gone out and done market surveys. We've made shifts in our distribution circulation. We've leaned in on smart match alliances to catapult and give us. We've gone out and gathered exclusives on trade shows and sold program guides. I could go on and on and on. And those of you that are here that we work with on our academy and I work with one-on-one, you know who you are. We've deployed those strategies. Sometimes when faced with the toughest set of adversity, Jed, we deploy opportunity or convert those challenges into opportunity, and it's really, really powerful. But there's another part in the middle of all of this, okay, and that is always the words to remember, never negotiate with yourself. I'll sometimes hear the words, well, I went out and gave this presentation, and Ernest, I know the competitor's coming in 2 hours later. Should I reach back out to them and go give them something? Should I go lower my rate card? Should I go? And I'm like, whoa, hang on. You're negotiating with yourself. We don't do that. We don't overthink and overplay. We go out and give our best presentation, our only presentation. We know how to make side-by-side comparisons to competitors and call out the differences and create value. And we don't go down that side of reducing rate cards or playing games on that side. I want to close, Jed, with this point. This came from, if you walked into my office, Jed, to the very left of where I sit, there's a picture. And the picture is from a self-defense expert. And underneath there, it says, when faced with adversity or challenges, you have three options. It's number one, leave the environment. Leave the environment. You go, wait a minute, I thought this is self-defense experts. Wouldn't they lean in and fight or defend themselves? Yes, but they would rather leave the environment. Or number two, change the environment. But the third point is the part that sticks out most for me. When faced with adversity, change your attitude. And that's the compelling component that Jed and I want to have each of you come off this teleseminar with. Change your attitude related to objections, related to competitors, related to the challenges that come your way. It's not how far you fall, it's how fast you bounce. That's the essence of what we're talking about today. And what you learn over time is a confidence that, yes, I've had challenges, yes, there'll be other challenges, but I know I can overcome them. And so many of you that work with me and work with Power Hour over the years have this little saying, which is, what would Ernest say, WWES, or what would Ernest do? And some of you will say, I can hear your voice, Ernest, and I know how to overcome this. Or you'll come into a meeting and say, there were three things I wanted to cover, Ernest, but two of them I already handled. I knew what you were going to tell me, you know. Or sometimes I'll say, now, do you want me to finish the sentence or you? No, Ernest, I'll finish the sentence. I know what you're – and that's the point. You've practiced and we've practiced over and over winning no matter what the adversity is. And for those of you that have never experienced these dynamics, we want to share that with you today, that to be in a habit and make it a habit of overcoming obstacles and adversity helps you win. A little quick story related to that. Power Hour is based in Park City, Utah. We have three of the most amazing ski resorts that are there. And whenever we bring people, we entertain a lot during the winter, and people come out to ski, we say, look, let me see you ski or snowboard, and then let me give you a couple of pointers. And then as time goes on, I'll show you ways to challenge yourself a little bit at a time. And what happens by the second and third day is people go, wow, what I couldn't do on the first day, you know, was tough on the second day, but on the third day was ho-hum. And I said, that's exactly how we handle adversity. You practice winning and you build that confidence. Okay? Jed, any comments about anything I've shared related to adversity that you'd like to chime in on before we take a look at the questions that have come in?
I mean, you know, it's a huge topic. I think, you know, just speaking for myself, right? I know that the hardest part sometimes in dealing with adversity is sort of, you know, is figuring out how to deal with it and not being jaded by sort of the layers of adversity that come before it, right? You know, if you've just finished dealing with an annoying problem having to do with an advertiser, for example, and mm-hmm. then you get a call from another advertiser complaining about something, right? It's hard. It's very mm-hmm. difficult to not let that sort of jade your opinion. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I know that a lot of times when I talk to publications, you know, I feel like the adversity that they oftentimes face is just sort of this climate of you know, mm-hmm. things are not going well. And there's mm-hmm. no doubt, right, that sort of objectively you can look at some things and say that, you know, that changes need to be made and things need to happen and the world is different today than it was 5 years ago. But mm-hmm. but I think that oftentimes we all sort of let this mood, right, kind of mm-hmm. shape all decisions going forward. Mm-hmm. When we probably would make better decisions if we were able to separate them. I know mm-hmm. that's true for me, and I imagine it's mm-hmm. I'm not alone.
There's a song, "You Are Not Alone." Okay, I am not Michael Jackson, That concludes the song portion of our teleseminar. A first ever, Jed. So let's dive in and get even more granular. Many, many, many of you sent us questions to tuck in here. And Jed, you and I are going to rifle our way through and give sort of laser coaching and advice or commentary. And then we'll pause and then we'll go back and talk about adversity and strategies on the other side. So Leanne writes to us from Florida, print isn't effective anymore. Leanne, I am unleashing a tsunami of Jed love. Jed love. You want to give us a minute or two for Leanne?
Sure. I mean, you know, the thing is that really when people say this, you have to separate the idea of print, right, from the reality, right? When people say that print isn't effective anymore, it really means that they're not tracking it. They're not keeping track of the results that are generated from print. You know, that's something that we do across tens of thousands of publications every month, and there are some publications that are astonishing in the results that they can produce. One of the things that you should all know is that print does not bring in as much volume as other mediums. You're not going to get as many responses to a print ad as you would from the typical online ad or from radio or television. However, the close rate for print is almost always, across any industry, higher and dramatically higher than it is in other mediums. So a good close rate, and by close rate I mean, you know, online, it might mean someone buying something or someone filling out a form, someone doing something which carries a transaction one step closer. A good close rate online would be about 0.5%. A good close rate for us in print is about 50%. So the number of when you're comparing the number of responses, it can be depressing, right? A good newspaper or magazine, you know, might generate 40 or 50 responses in a month from an ad, right? But out of those responses, the number of people who actually buy will be, you know, in the 25 to 30 range, right? Or certainly between 20 and 30, depending on sort of what's being sold and how expensive it is, that kind of stuff. So when you break that down and you look at it, you say that's the equivalent of, you know, of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 responses online, right? Which is going to be much more costly than what needed to be spent to generate the 50 responses in print. So I don't buy the fact that print doesn't work. I think the real issue is that the perception is that print doesn't work. And, you know, and as long as that perception is out there, it's a battle. And I think the only way to beat that perception and the only way to combat that perception is to show people data, is to say, this is an ad that ran in our publication. This is how much response it got. This is how many sales it got. You know, people respond to print ads differently, I think. It's a very hard thing to sort of prove scientifically, right? But when someone is responding to a print ad, they're doing it in a different way than they're responding to any other type of ad. And this is true for online print ads as well. People don't respond to online print ads or any online ad in the same way that they're doing for an actual print product. Print product, they read it, they make a call or go online, or whatever the response mechanism may be. They're responding at a time and in a place that makes sense for them, and they're more likely to buy. Whereas online, it's more of a reaction, and I think that it lends itself to just sort of an overall lower quality of response. So that's more than two minutes, but that's my
I said we're unleashing a tsunami for Leanne. Leanne, here's the other piece. We've done countless educational teleseminars. You can find them on our Power Hour site. You can find them on the MediaBiz site. We've addressed this particular topic in a big-time way. Print is exceedingly powerful and generating significantly better results than the digital side, but you need to have that selling strategy in order to deploy. Let's continue with a few more. Rashad in California wrote, our company's willing to give new magazines a chance. Rashad, yes. And should a magazine drop its price in secure advertising? Positively, absolutely not. Okay? It's not a question of dropping. Your rate card should be in alignment with what you bring an offer, and you should also know what your competitors are doing so. So it's not a function of dropping. You're placed correctly. There's a reason why you might be at $10 CPM, cost per thousand, and a more sophisticated, longer term, or more embedded media group might be at 20 or 30. You need to be in the right spot for where you are if you are new from that perspective. Julie in North Dakota asks, do you have a comeback to your ads are too costly? Once again, on this, Julie, we've held other teleseminars on this, but the laser coaching for you on this about too costly, that ties to your presentation. There are 20 key components of a media presentation. Only you can show value and incorporate value in your media kit. So if you're saying they're too costly, that's a sales challenge and opportunity that you need to answer first and foremost from that perspective. Let's see, one more from Mark. Mark in North Carolina says, how do I integrate social media into our print business without losing the emphasis on the print? A couple of comments on that, and Jed, I'll open it up to you as well. The social media side, we do want you to have a footprint. You need to drink your Kool-Aid that you're out and that you're visible and that you can talk to advertisers related to the social media side. We are big, big fans of driving visibility for our e-newsletter and have lots of reasons why that's so successful for ad sales teams. So our e-newsletter on that side. But if you think that, you know, being out on Twitter and Facebook and blogging, all those things are going to bring you new advertisers, we are not a believer on that side, okay? Lastly, there is a Google search engine optimization component to social media, but that's really a different teleseminar. Jed, just any comment about integrating social media into the print biz without losing the emphasis on print?
Look, I think that... I am certainly not an expert on sort of, you know, keeping and maintaining readers, and I think that that's such an important part of what people need to be doing now who are involved with publications, you know. And to the question I answered a minute ago, you know, I didn't mean to sort of say all of that with just a blind eye with sort of with what's going on in the world, and obviously print is in a battle for attention, right? People have to, you know, publications have to fight and to expand how they bring their content to people. I personally think that, you know, the print medium still works pretty well, but there's no doubt that there's other ways of sort of bringing that content to people. I believe more than anything, and maybe more today than ever before, that the content that's being generated by local news and media organizations of all types is more critical and more valuable than it's ever been. And so, you know, so however you can get that in front of people, I think is a win. Mm-hmm. I would use whatever medium available. You know, the trick is just how do you monetize it? And obviously, you know, I talk to a lot of people involved with social media advertising, and you know, even outside of publications, it's very tough. right? I mean, the only people who are getting rich advertising social media on social media channels are social media channels, right? You know, I mean, and that's
I need a bumper sticker with that.
I mean, and that really, you know, really appears to be the truth. So I, you know, I've yet to see an advertising sort of strategy around, you know, that incorporates social media that has really worked for either the media outlet or the advertiser. You know, but I'm sure it's coming. You know, I'm sure that won't always be the case. But I think that if I were in the business right now and I had a newspaper, I would probably be using social media as a way to drive traffic back to back to my website and ultimately to drive subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because I think, unfortunately, that's the only way to monetize it.
Yeah, and really what we're saying here is this. There's a place and a time for social media. You have to define what your strategies are. Are you deploying social media to increase your SEO strategies? That's one. Are you deploying social media to bring them back to your website? That's number two. Are you deploying social media because it has you visible in terms of clients and advertising agencies and prospects? That's strategy number three. Are you aware of what your clients and prospects are doing when you go in and out of your ad presentations and renewals related to social media? That's focus number four. So be certain you know which Kool-Aid you're drinking and why, okay? Jed, let's go ahead and shift back. We've fielded a number of questions. We'll keep fielding your questions. Simply hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. And we'll tuck those in, and we have another series of questions that we'll look to tuck in here before the top of the hour. Let's talk about, Jed, the best practices for addressing adversity and converting it into learning moments. And the learning moments is the most important part, because what we've observed with our clients over 2+ decades is it's not just, hey, here's how we're going to handle this tough moment or this challenge, but it's also a reminder that what can we get and learn from it going forward? And then how can we incorporate that learning as we go forward? So a couple of principles related to this, Jed. Number one, we believe there are no new ideas in the world. Someone went out and figured out X, Y, and Z in some way, shape, or form. In part, so many of you that we work with behind the scenes, you come to us to say, hey, Ernest, I've got this challenge. And I'll say, oh, yeah, gosh, we were just working with a client this morning on this, or last week on this, or last month, or here's a template, or go to your email, here's a checklist, or here's the strategy, and so forth. So we truly believe that don't go it alone. Don't feel you're alone, okay? Someone has fixed or handled this kind of problem already. Number two, we're big believers in brainstorm as a group, all right, and share strategies as a group. We also believe that you can look for the root cause, reoccurring themes. So that's interesting. Each time we go into our renewal presentations, we're losing it because blank. We're losing it because our newsletter subscribers haven't increased over the last 12 months. Well, the root cause is that we're losing our renewals, but the real root cause is how come we're not driving new subscribers to our e-newsletter? Let's go right at that root cause and not go lose the next 10 renewals because our e-newsletter is not helping us win. Now, that's just a quick example on the fly. But we're also believers in look for examples within our media sector, but also look for examples outside of our sector. You know, for example, if you're focused on selling ads to the RV sector or the mining sector or to realtors or selling ads to those in the 50-plus housing space, whatever it might be, your newspaper or magazine, go look at that sector. If I were selling ads into the RV space, I'd be watching to see what they're doing and deploying. I'd be watching to see what kind of social media they're driving on that side. I'd be looking to see what kind of presentations are being given at some of their upcoming association kinds of meetings. So remember, look in our space, the media space, but also look outside the space specifically to the categories that you're selling into, okay? Also, from a learning perspective, Jed and I have driven more than 120 hours of educational teleseminars like this. Come in and listen to one of those a day for the next 120 days. We have a lot of them. That's a lot of time to go listen to us and learn from that, okay? Another principle that we believe about adversity, and it's called staying in the know. staying in the know is a principle. And I've never, Jed, spoken on this, written about this beyond our individual work, or ever read a book about staying on the know. But it's a principle that goes like this. No, I'm sorry, we're not going to buy an ad from you today. Okay? And a junior salesperson says, wow, I'm so sorry. I guess I'll follow up. Hey, thanks so much. And off they go. But a senior sales pro goes, gee, I'm so sorry that you're not going to buy an ad. Can you tell me a little bit more? Can you tell me who else you might be buying an ad from? Or can you tell me what else you might be doing instead? Or can you tell me what else I might have included in my presentation? We call that staying in the know. I'm going to take the know, but I'm going to ask a follow-up question and another follow-up question, Jed, so that I can truly learn what it is about my presentation. Sometimes they may say, well, I just don't think you've really captured the audience of those that are 50 plus and need housing, or I don't think you've got spot on the audience that buys an RV. Oh, really? Tell me a little bit more. Well, I noticed in your presentation you said this, and I really thought it should be that. Okay, but hang on. Let's go back to it in my media kit. Hang on. Did you notice this part right here? No, gee, I didn't. Oh, well, let me explain what that means. Or here, let me pull something out of my folder. I've got something. Or here, let me send you something by email. We're talking by phone. Do you see what I've got here that just backs that up? Person goes, wow, I must have been confused, or I wasn't aware, or I perceived X, but your reality is Y. You know what? I am going to go forward and buy an ad with you. We call that staying in the know. The more that you learn after someone says no, two things happen. A, you can convert the no into a yes about a third of the time. The other two thirds, you're going to get data points about you, the competitor, the sector, or something else that will better prepare you for the next sale, the next objection, the next sale, and the next objection. Okay? It's one of those guiding principles. And, Jed, we do a lot of work on this during our Tuesday Academy. In some cases, we also look at our systems, our tools, our data, our stats. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've said to my ad clients, well, what has happened with your Google Analytics related to your visibility? And what's happened to your search visibility? And what's happened to your e-newsletter? And what's happening to your distribution or circulation? And I'll get a pause. And the pause is, we don't know. Or the pause is, I don't have that information. And my response is, if you don't have it, then how can you present it? And how can you have the confidence on that side? It's really important to have the stats, the data, and the information that presents your story in the best way. And if you don't, that's where your sales are falling off, because you're not driving it all the way to the finish from that perspective. Last comment, competitors. We learn lots from competitors. They do cause us. The biggest angst that we hear is the reoccurring theme, Ernest, you're not going to believe, and here comes my competitor, all right? And my response broadly is, A, we might match them, but that's never how I play and we play. How do we surpass them? Gee, that's interesting, Ernest. Hey, one of my competitors locked up an association show. They removed me from it, and it's all because they're producing the program and ad sales guide for that particular event. We got iced. They said, okay, you got iced on one? Fine. There's nine other shows. We go get the other nine. That's how we play. We might match or far go beyond that, because that's how we not only overcome adversity, but we take a challenge and create it into a massive opportunity for ourselves. In some cases, we might add more value to our media buy. In some cases, it's our side-by-side media comparison. In some cases, we're tracking and logging what competitors are doing on that side that we learn from that data as well. In some cases, we may hire one of their ad sales team members from a competitor. And in some cases, we buy competitors, outright buy them. There are so many things that we do in and around competitors. All of these things, Jed, we've covered here in our learning teleseminars. And for those of you that are part of our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy, you know that we do this week in and week out. This is part of what we do behind the scenes, how to compete fiercely and how to pound competitors out of the marketplace. Not just nudge them, but remove competitors out. Jed, any comments or observations related to these points?
I think one of the things that I've found, you know, in terms of, you know, you mentioned, you know, getting to the know, is that with the way that most people now function in their businesses, you know, it's really changed. Like it used to be, even, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, right, you could call up an advertiser and with minimal effort, usually get them on the phone, right, and sort of make your make your argument, you know. And it's and it's become so difficult now to actually talk to someone that I feel like, you know, a lot of these strategies, you know, almost need to be deployed in an effort to sort of get a conversation, right? You know, the if you can get a conversation these days, I think your success rate, you know, especially using these strategies that you're talking about, are you know, probably going to be pretty high. I think the real challenge is sort of getting to that point, though.
You are right. Let's be fair. There is more noise than ever before. In the old days when we began, Jed, you had what? You had to make certain you got in the yellow pages. By God, if you missed the May deadline and you weren't in for another year, nobody would know your flower shop existed. You could put an ad in the newspaper, albeit expensive. You could put a flyer up. That was it. It was word of mouth, right? Today, there's an infinite number of solutions, and getting above the noise is absolutely so compelling, which leads us right into the question from Mark. Mark in Illinois asks us, when you have about 3 minutes to tell your story, what are the top two things to say or ask? And Mark, my response back to you is, what would you, in three sentences, send to Jed and I? There's your action item, because you need to be able to capitalize on that. If you want, what is it you want to tell us? My name is Mark, and we have the ideal circulation for exactly the people who buy RVs for exactly the RV dealerships that you own. That's it. I don't even need three sentences, Mark. What is it you're going to tell me about that is so compelling in one sentence that disrupts the status quo? Because you might make the second part of the sentence, and we're the only media group that gets the circulation list from the top three companies that manufacture RVs. We have access, and it's exclusive. I'm still listening, Mark, if that's what you want to tell me. All right? So very important component and opportunity. Let's see. Susan asks us, Jed, I'm sorry. Yeah,
no,
please.
Go ahead. No, I just wanted to say, if I had 3 minutes, I would spend it asking the advertiser what they need.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, how many sales do you need to make this work? How many?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would end, hopefully, if it was true, by saying, you know, if you advertise with us, you're going to make money. Right, and if you could say that and have any data to support that, then, you know, the details don't matter, right? How much circulation you have, whether you print on toilet paper or the nicest paper in the world, doesn't matter. All that matters is, you know, is this guy going to make money? And if you can provide information that shows that he's going to make money, then you know, I think that you've made the sale.
Perfect. And we're hoping, Mark, that's helpful for you and for all of you that are joining our academy today. Let's continue. Susan in California as well says, what kind of training do you give to your salespeople so they can handle sales challenges and objections? So, Susan, very, very broadly, today is one of those kinds of conversations. Salespeople need to understand how to field objections. That's partially what we're doing here. How do you dissect an objection? How do you address an objection, and to practice and to role play? We cannot stress enough the importance of that. If the objection is, I'm not going to place an ad, I'm happy with what I've got, gee, I'm already doing it myself. If those are your standard, what we call frequently asked objections, then you and your team need to practice handling those. Let's see, another one from Jeff. I like this one, Jed. What is a good balance for email versus phone call versus in-person sales calls from Jeff from Jeff in Georgia? Good balance of email, phone calls, and in-person. Do you want to comment on that one, Jed?
I mean, I think it really depends on the person. You know, I mean, there's some people that I deal with who are just phone people, right? Like they want to talk on the phone. You get calls from them. So you know that that's kind of how they prefer to interact. I also deal with a lot of people, and this is more common, I was kind of alluding to this earlier, this is more common, I think, today than ever, who people who just kind of cringe when you call them. Like, it's almost like for a certain group of people out there, a phone call has become like almost like an intimate interaction that they are just not comfortable having with someone they don't know well. It's like, you know, it's to them it's almost creepy. And so and so for those types of people, you know, I mean there's a certain set of our clients and our people we consider good customers who we very rarely speak to because it's all email. I think whatever they respond to is the right answer. I mean, you know, I think email can certainly be effective and you can get an awful lot done through email. I don't know that there's a magic formula, or at least I don't know of one.
Okay, and you are right that so much has changed. The art of cold calling, Jeff, is a lost art. So we coach around that. If you work within a geographical marketplace, Jed, it's a lost art, truthfully, that, you know, hey, look, I'm going to go out to the northwest section of my territory. I'm going to see four advertisers. I'm going to stop in and say hello to two renewals, take care of those, and then I'm going to go see these eight prospects, and I'm going to call them the day before. Plus send an email to say, hi, Lucy. Hi, Rick. I'm going to be in your area. I'm going to be seeing a number of my advertisers. I'd love to stop in and say hello. Even if they don't see me, okay, it literally means that at least I declared that I was going to be there. I stopped by. I left my publication. I left my card. Now I can do a little follow-up. In many cases, they'll go, wow, I haven't seen a sales rep in 42 years. Come on in. Have a cup of coffee, you know, whatever you'd like. So we do find that works really well. I agree. I love phone calls, as you say, the combination of an email. I like email plus phone call. I'll tell you what we really like, Jeff. We really like weaving in association events like this. Those that we work with in our Power Hour plus our Tuesday Academies, we talk about using association events. So once again, if I'm a member of the RV Association and I already know in the month, you know, this month on the on the 20th, there's an event. I'm going to go back to the 10th of my calendar. And everything I do for the next 10 days is going to be focused on, hey, you're going to be at that event on the 20th, and hey, I'd love to say hello to you, and gee, maybe we can say hello before, or we can meet after, or maybe we'll sit at the same table. Even if they don't call or contact me, they'll be more receptive when I show up on that event on the 20th. Many will take the call because they don't want to be embarrassed on the 20th, and those that don't return a phone call when you see them there on the 20th will be gently flustered, and you're more apt to get a meeting or an opportunity. And at the very least, for those that don't even show on the 20th, it says you're committed to the sector, you care about the RV profession, you're knowledgeable what's moving on in that space, and we really, really like that. One more little whisper without diving too deep. We're really, really big on educational thought leadership opportunities. Whether you bring your advertisers and prospects together for in-person roundtables, in-person speaking, or teleseminars or webinars or webcasts like we're doing here, we truly believe every 30 days getting out as a thought leader is another way to bring the bees to your honey, okay? So, Jeff, we're hoping that that's helpful, some laser coaching. Aaron, you also had a question about email marketing. We're hoping that's helpful. Jed, let's come around the bend and address the last point that we promised to cover here today during our educational teleseminar. And the last point we wanted to cover and talk about is, can adversity help your team learn, grow, and soar? Okay? So here are some guiding principles about adversity. Okay? Number one, we call this R2R, rain storms to rainbows. And all that simply means is, how fast can you take the largest problem you have, the largest challenge, the most difficult sales objections, the rain, and convert it to a rainbow? How fast can you do it? It's not how far you fall, it's how high you bounce, but it's also how quickly you bounce. And we're going to challenge all of you to think about that and let that stay in your mind related to that particular component. Number two, calm under pressure. There's a confidence that comes from, yep, I can handle adversity, did it yesterday, did it the week before, did it the month before, I got this. I'm in it. I know we'll navigate it, and off we go. All right? Calm under pressure. Another point. Don't lose your cool. You're on video. We've done entire educational teleseminars as a reminder that you're on video, that those on your team, and if you're the leader or the president or the VP of your sales team, your team is watching you. And if you're just a team member, your team is watching you. When was the last time you saw somebody uncork or unravel or lose their cool or lose their temper? There's no place for that, okay? So no matter how challenging or how much adversity we have, stay cool, calm under pressure, all right? And Jed, this relates to something you said earlier, which is, and time shift to your advantage. So if I have a really big challenge that hits my desk at the end of a long day, Jed, man, I'm probably not going to cope or handle that so well. I probably would do it fresher in the morning when I can really think about that. So we talk about time shifting with our media sales groups to your advantage, okay? A very important piece so that you can be your best and do your best, all right? Another piece. From the fall or challenges of adversity comes that new strength and confidence. We talked about it earlier. And sometimes adversity requires us, Jed, to think outside the box. Sometimes something that we've never done or deployed. When we talk to our media sales groups and say, well, hey, listen, one of the things that we're going to suggest is, why don't you reach out to that manufacturer? Why don't you reach out to that snowmobile manufacturer? Why don't you see if there's some value add for what we might bring to them that in exchange we will get the database of every buyer of a snowmobile across your region? And they go, God, we've never even asked for that. We've never considered it. Well, that's because we've never done it. Go out and speak to advertisers, in this case, the large manufacturers of snowmobiles or whatever it might be, whatever the category is, and see if there might be some significant way that you can gain insight, that you can have the single best database or the best readers or the best readerships, because that also, going back to what Jed said a few minutes ago, also equals what? The best ad results, ultimately, right? The best ad results. So we're always striving for that. And sometimes the thinking outside the box can be the most valuable. A little whisper related to this. Jed, you've heard me tell the stories a couple of times over many, many years. But when I was in San Diego, that was one of my earliest publishing days, I learned that there were Chamber of Commerce packages that were going out to people before they ever went to before they ever came to San Diego. Old school, they were mailed out. Boom. I went to the chamber and said, well, gosh, I really would like to have my magazine tucked in there. Hey, what about if I pay for the postage of all those mailings that go out every month and I'm the only magazine of my type in there? They were like, sure. Went on for 5 years. My competitors never knew I had done that. Another quick story. We were producing an apartment rental magazine, and we noticed a lot of the military ships coming right into San Diego, Jed, where you were. You probably could see those battleships across from downtown San Diego, a recent conference you were at. Those Yep. ships would come in with 2,000 to 3,000 Navy sailors who needed what? Housing. So what did we learn to do? Ship boxes of our magazines out to the Navy ships so that the sailors were calling from the Navy ships back to the apartments and renting before they ever got ashore. And then we got a letter from the Admiral thanking us. And then we went out to advertisers to show them the letter we had. Went on for years before our competitors ever figured out what we're doing. I could go on and on and on. I've got hundreds of examples like that. And that's really what this piece is. You think out of the box, you never take a no, you're never discouraged, and you always find a way to address whatever adversity is coming your way. Set small goals, break them into smaller pieces, set a date to it. Every step of the way, adversity will push you to be your best and do your best and help you find out-of-the-box solutions, and not just match, but far surpass what competitors are doing, and far surpass the ad results. The ad results, like Jed was talking about, that advertisers are expecting. Let's go all the way back to self-defense experts say what? Leave the environment, or change the environment, or the last one, ultimately, change your attitude. That's what today is about. Change your attitude. Jed, some closing thoughts. Related to
about the approach to advertisers. I mean, I think, you know, what we have found is that having data changes the conversation so that it's no longer, you know, a feeling that I think a lot of salespeople have where they're sort of asking for a favor. in the advertiser spending money with them. They're hoping that they will for reasons that are sort of unclear. If you have information about your readers and you're able to provide that information, even in a nominal form, you're changing the equation and you're no longer asking for a favor, right? What you're really doing is you're saying, our readers want this service or product that you're providing. We would like you to spend money to be in front of them. But if you don't want to do it, that's okay, because we're going to find someone else who wants to reach our readers in the same way. But we know that our readers are looking for what it is that you're selling. And I think that if you can do that, right, and it's really, again, not difficult to do, it completely changes the relationship and the complexion of the questions you're asking. It stinks to be selling if you think you're not providing a service that people need. It makes it a lot harder. And a lot of the newspaper and magazine salespeople that I talk to don't give me the impression that they believe that I need their product. And that's a mistake. It's a huge mistake.
Yep, you bet. And so, listen, we've covered a lot of ground. We want to be respectful of your time. We start at the top of the hour. We wrap up at the top of the hour. We've covered a lot of ground. Today's teleseminar about adversity and overcoming it, and a formula and a confidence we've never done in 23 years. Jed and I, over the last 10, 11, 12 years of hosting these together, we've never done this. We hope that you will take exactly what we've covered here and use it and deploy it, and then come back and tell us, how is it working for you? And is it helping you with your strategies? And is it helping you sell and drive more ad sales, right? And then, of course, if you're stuck or you'd like some additional guidance, we're here for you. We will help you, whether it's one-on-one or working directly with your team or tucking you in to our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. We'd love to help you and your team from that perspective. Just simply come into powerhour.com. You'll find everything there related to Jed and MediaBids. Come into MediaBids.com to learn more about the work that Jed and he and his team are doing there. They're fabulous. They know exactly what they're doing and exactly how to bring additional revenue for you and your team on that side of the house. So, Jed, it's always a pleasure working here together. Jed, any closing words before we wrap up for today?
No, thanks. Thanks, Ernest. We solved all the problems in an hour. If anyone has any questions, disagrees with anything that I said or Ernest for that matter, or would like to talk more about it, feel free to reach out. And thanks again, Ernest, for bringing the vast majority of the knowledge on the phone call.
Well, listen, what Jed is really saying is that all future meetings and any future problems will be solved in two capacities, either A, in the Galapagos Islands with the turtles, or B, over a chessboard, one or the other, baby. To all of you, thank you so much. Have a great day, and we'll see you next month.
All right.
Take care.
Okay. Thank
Bye.
You.